Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
Amen. All right. We have quite a service today, don't we? All right. Well, we're going to talk, we're going to go into part four today and finish the series entitled The Glory of Living. Now, how many have been here? We've done three teachings on the glory of living. How many have been here for at least one of those? At least. How about two? All right, not too bad. How about three? All right, that number goes way down. All right. Melissa, you were here for the first one because I remember. That was the day I came back. So that was the first teaching on the glory of living because you posted something on Facebook. See, we're just all mellow and fresh today. We're just talking. All right, amen. Give Melissa a hand and she's back on Sunday. So we're going to talk about the glory of living, and our premise has been in this series that you and I manifesting the glory of God or releasing the glory of God or exposing the glory of God in our lives, that's our premise. When we manifest the glory of God in our lives, it has everything to do with the glory of living. And that's been our premise. And that's what living is all about. Manifesting. When you manifest the glory of God in your life, you are really living. And church, the problem with that premise and the problem with those statements is our understanding of glory. Our understanding of the word glory and what it means. That is the problem with those statements I just made. Because glory has been such a misunderstood term in the church. Glory in the church is really a word that actually has had no meaning or definition. It's just a term that we use as part of our religious lingo. When we think of glory, we always think of the religious concept of glory, that is some type of smoke cloud coming in the room and knocking people over. That is our concept of what glory is. Now, in the charismatic church, and don't get me wrong, church, when I say this, because there's a lot of good things in the charismatic church that I would love to bring over into the Rising and especially into our worship. But in the charismatic church and also other parts of the church, glory is a very mystical term. For many people, the word glory is just a mystical truth without any practical relevance. And we have tried in this series to give you a real picture of the glory of God and that the glory of God is in you. Now, that's a hard concept for some of us to grasp because one of the biggest problems when I talk to you about the issue of you exposing God's glory or you displaying God's glory or us fulfilling God's glory as believers, the whole problem is that many of us have been taught from the beginning that we have no glory. How often have you heard someone say in church, now, watch out, brother. Watch out, sister. You got to stay humble. Don't take the glory from the Lord. How often have you heard somebody say that? Now, what do they mean by that? What they mean is that no matter how well you exercise your gift or your talent for the Lord, you should never say that it was you who did it. Instead, you should say, it was the Lord. Now, that's what they mean when they say, don't take the glory from the Lord. Now, no matter how well you play the piano, no matter how well you sing, no matter how well you paint a picture or design a home or create a product, don't ever say, it was you who did it, because you will be stealing God's glory. Now, that's what I've heard. Have you heard that in church? And I'm going to tell you this morning, that what you've been taught, what I just said, that is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Of course it was you who did it. It was Lydia who sang. She did it. It was her that did it. Of course it was you who did it. Now, listen to me. Humility is very important. And we said in this series that humility is actually the key to being exceptional in anything we do. So we should never, never, listen, we should never, never take credit for something that God did. But church, acknowledging your God-given gifts and exercising them without apology is not stealing God's glory. On the contrary, it is a way to give God glory. You understand? Because here's the thing, church. When you just sit there and you're not using your gifts and you're not using your talents and you're not using your abilities for the kingdom of God, for the church, for your brothers and sisters, for your fellow man, that's when you're stealing God's glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We honor God by developing and using for his glory the traits, the attributes, the gifts, and the abilities that he's placed in us. But we always acknowledge him, church, as the source of those traits and attributes and gifts and abilities. But listen, you're the one doing it. So you're not stealing God's glory. You're giving him glory by developing those things in your life. True humility always recognizes your roots. We know that God is the root of that. He is the source of all of our gifts and talents. And true humility always recognizes that. But to deny your gifts, to deny your glory, listen, and yes, you found out in this series that you have glory. You have glory. And to deny that is an insult to God. It's actually a form of false humility that I've been around all my life in the church. This false humility. And all this false humility has done, that they have suppressed Christians for generations, leaving them feeling weak and useless and insignificant. And for years, church preachers and leaders and teachers have fostered this false attitude, and they passed it down to their congregations. And I'm going to tell you where the false attitude comes from. It's based on a misunderstanding of one scripture verse in Isaiah, where God says this. God says, I will not give my glory to another. Now, that's in Isaiah 42. And listen, church, we're going to look at the full context of that verse today and the fuller meaning of that passage, because I want to, because this fundamental misunderstanding of glory has robbed the word glory of its true meaning. And it has robbed glory of its practical relevance because of this misunderstanding. We've robbed glory of its power. We've robbed God from seeing his glory manifest through us because of this misunderstanding. We've robbed ourselves because we don't understand who we are and what we really have in us. Do you understand? Do you really understand that you are the temple of God? Do you really understand that? That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives in you. Listen, you are the home of God. I mean, come on. Just think about that. And you say you have no glory. How in the world can you be the home of God and have no glory? You don't hear what I'm saying. We need to detox from this religious idea of glory. Paul says it differently. The Apostle Paul says you have this treasure, this glory in an earthen vessel. He says, you are partakers, participants in the divine nature. You can exchange the word nature and glory. They're the same word. Every time you see the word nature, it's glory. Every time you see the word glory, it's nature. You are partakers of the divine glory. So let's begin today. What I want to begin today, I want some feedback today from you. I want to see what you remember about glory, because I gave you two words, a Hebrew word and a Greek word for glory. How many remember that? I gave you a Greek word and a Hebrew word. What is the Hebrew word for glory? Say it again. Kabod. Say it again. Kabod. And what is the Greek word for glory? Doxa. Ooh, very good, very good. And now, I told you that kabod and doxa basically have the same meaning. Now, does anybody remember the meaning of the word kabod, doxa, glory? What is the meaning of glory? Heavy. Okay. Anything else? Weighty. Right, weighty. Anything else you remember? Any more meaning than heavy or weighty? Do you remember anything else? Fullness. The fullness of something. So when you expose your glory, what we're seeing is the fullness of you. We're seeing that exposed. We're seeing the fullness of a thing, the fullness of you exposed. Okay, that's good. There's more. Anybody remember anything else about the meaning of glory? Go ahead. Almost made me drop my papers here. Say it again, Cheryl, because that is exactly what it is.
The true nature of something.
The true nature of something. So, what happens when you expose your glory? What you're exposing is your true nature. You're exposing that to the world, your true nature. Very good. So, that's basically the meaning. I'll give you some more meaning. The fullness of a thing, exposing the weight of something. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, give me the weight of the matter? What they're saying is, give me the real glory of the matter. Now, the other phrase that we used is, show me glory means, when we say God, to God, glorify yourself in this house. Glorify yourself in this church. Glorify yourself in my life. What are we saying to God? We're saying, God, show me some stuff. Show me the real you. Show me your true nature. Show me the real stuff. And as Cheryl said, glory also means the true nature of something. It means the real nature of a thing. It means the complete manifestation, the full expression of something. The true characteristics of a thing, the full essence of it. That's its glory. That's the meaning of glory. Now, are there any, before I even continue, because I want to get into some other things today about glory, especially going to Isaiah 42 and correcting this misunderstanding that has been in the church for years about glory, using this one verse to tell people, well, you have no glory. You can't touch God's glory. You're stealing God's glory when you use your gifts and you say it's you. You're stealing all that. No, this is a misunderstanding. We need to look at this in context. Now, I want you to do something for me. Can you all spell? The word context. I want you to spell it with me. You ready? C-O-N-T-E-X-T. Oh, you did so good on that. All right, now I want you to do this. I want you to take text out of context and tell me what's left. What's left? Con. Con. You understand when you take the text out of context, you have nothing but a con. So when you look at scripture, not in context, what do you have? A con. Do we have any questions about, before I go on, do you guys have any comments or questions about the teaching that we've done on the glory of God or the glory of living? Any comments, questions, anything you want clarified?
I'll start us off.
Go ahead, John.
I think this was a couple weeks ago. You had a reference in scripture that says, Jesus said, I've brought you glory by completing the work you've given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. So I was wondering if you can expand on that a little bit.
Read the scripture again, John. Read the first part.
Okay, so Jesus said, I've brought you the glory, or brought you glory by completing the work you have given me to do.
Okay, stop there. Now, what is he saying? Jesus is saying, I have brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do. So, how do we bring God glory? By completing the work that he's given us to do. Again, when you are developing your talents and your gifts and your abilities for the purpose that God has put them in you, and you are beginning to move in that, you are moving toward completing the work he gave you to do. You are moving toward bringing him glory or giving him glory or your glory being manifested. Church, you know, there's a scripture that says the whole earth, you remember that in the Old Testament? The whole earth is going to be filled with his glory. How in the world is the whole earth going to be filled with his glory if we don't see any glory in you? Who's going to fill the earth with his glory? Us. Us. How is the rising going to be filled with his glory if nobody is using their gifts, talents, and abilities for the rising? There'll be no glory. That's how glory. So that's that statement there that Jesus makes is a template for us. That's how you give God glory, by completing the work. Now, what you have to do is you have to find the purpose and the work that he's given you to do. That's a whole nother process. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll never find it unless you're in the right environment. You understand what I'm saying? If you're in a wrong environment and you're around the wrong people, you will never find that. Because it takes, to produce the fruit that's in you, it takes being in the right environment. An apple tree produces apples because the tree is in the right environment. A banana tree produces bananas because it's in the right environment. So you've got to get in the right environment to bring glory out of you, the glory God has put in you.
All right, so the second part of the question is, now, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began.
All Jesus is saying is, it's time for my full manifestation now to be seen by the world. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what glory is. It's the full manifestation of a thing. And all Jesus is saying, it's time. You haven't seen that yet. But now, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before I was here. That's the full manifestation that he's talking about. And, of course, that we saw that at the cross. That was the full manifestation of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Okay?
That's it.
Any other questions or any other things? Carol?
In your life that show your glory, but there might be a second time around?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Well, explain, what I'm going to say is that just because there's more, if you're still living, you might be 90 years old, but you still have more glory in you just by the fact that you're still living. So there's more glory to come out of you. So as I was saying, that you may have more than one purpose. God may show you more than one purpose. You may have many this is it moments in your life where more glory comes out of you. So you're not finished until you're gone. Really, you're just not finished until you're gone. If you're still breathing, if you're still living, Betty, you still have glory I want to see. I see glory by what you're wearing today. Look, stand up, Betty. Look at you. All looking bright and Hawaiian and glory. I see some glory. But see, you still have more glory. You just have to, you have to pray. You have to get in the right environment. You have to get in God's presence and find out, Lord, I got more glory to give. Bring it out of me. Squeeze it out of me, Lord. Squeeze it out of me. You don't see, I gave this example in one of the teachings, that if you look at an orange, where is an orange's real glory? In the juice. It's not in the peel. It's not in anything. But once you, when you squeeze that orange and get the juice, glory comes out. That's the glory of an orange. So if you still living, you got to get some more sap in your juice to bring more glory out. So everybody in here, the fact that you're still here, you're still breathing, you're still living, means that God wants to bring more glory out of you. And listen, because we're supposed to see it and experience your fruit. You see what I'm saying? I can't eat my own fruit. A fruit tree can't eat its own fruit. It's got to eat the fruit. I've got to eat your fruit. You've got to eat my fruit. So if I don't see it, How am I gonna get fed? How am I gonna get nourished? Does that answer your question, Carol? Well, is it more or less? Well, how about the scripture that says God wants to take you from faith to faith? And glory to glory. Okay. So you just answered your own question. Yes, there always are new glories to be experienced because God is still taking you from glory to glory.
So you can't rest on your laurels?
Can't rest on it. Nope. You're still here. You're still breathing. We need to see more glory. There's still more glory in you. I pray for all of you all the time. God, squeeze it out of them. Just squeeze it. Put pressure on them. So the glory will come out. All right? Any more questions, comments before we move on? Anything you want clarified from the teachings? John?
Heard something this week that really seems to me applies to this. There was an artist who took a fruit tree and he was grafting other branches of other types of fruit on that tree. And they were able to blossom, and you could see different fruits on it, but it wouldn't reproduce it. I guess that goes to your point of saying the right environment. You can take another type of glory, try and attach it to the tree, but it's not going to reproduce. So to say that you have someone who works a parking lot ministry, does that well, works at the sound table, does that well, to try to graft someone into that that isn't in the right environment for it's not going to last.
So. No, very good, and I thank you for that comment. That was definitely, now, and that's the, you know what, church, the great thing about teaching and what a teacher really wants is he wants the people that are listening to him teach to be able to take what's being said and add on to it for themselves. Not just stop there with the teaching. And I appreciate that, John, because that's what you've done. You've seen something and you've added on to it. Thank you for that comment. Anybody else have a comment? Craig?
I always believe that, you know, living our life in, you know, like me with my personality. I mean, I just, you know, just living and having fun. And, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, super spiritual stuff. But, I mean, it's like if we live our life, because God made us to be who we are to be. So I feel like that's in line with the glory that's inside of us, in a sense.
I would agree with that. Yes, it is just, it's living your life. It's pursuing your purpose, your goals, the things in your life. That is what brings glory to God. We're not really talking about a religious works here. You know, when we've used the scripture in each teaching, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works or your good deeds. And when they see that, what are they going to do? They're going to glorify God, which is in heaven. So you've got to see something. Glory is something you see. It's not what you feel. It's something you see. So when you see somebody working out their dreams, pursuing their purpose, pursuing their goals, that's glory. You're watching glory there. They're living.
That just spoke
it's
to my...
It's the glory of living.
It spoke to my spirit when your first message about the glory and just exactly what I've always believed, that live your life. Live your life. Do what you do in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
This keeps coming in my mind. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Amen to that.
I just want to make a quick comment. I guess you guys noticed that we're here last week. Rarely I miss service, but I had to move last week. And anybody who moves knows it can be very, very stressful. And I literally had, like, all kinds of anxiety the night before. I remember telling the people who I asked to help me if they would just could spare about 2.5-3 hours. I'm thinking it's going to take that long. Big mistake. I mean, it took me almost a month just to get things packed up. I don't know why I thought it was going to take a few hours. But during the day of the move, one of my sisters here who shared with me that she moved a lot during a period of time. And she is impeccable at packing. I've never seen anybody pack a truck like this woman. I mean, she just moves everything perfectly. Part of her glory, and it was hidden within her. And I'm certain that during the time when she gained this experience, she didn't realize that God would use it. And believe me when I say that I glorified my Father in heaven and told her so. And also, too, Brother Al Smith and I was talking about Elva, so if you guys don't know. But Brother Al Smith also just always ready, willing, and able to lend a hand, and Daryl Johnson and a few other people from my son's team's help. So, I mean, it just really blessed my heart, and I saw God's glory in that. I saw God's glory in them, and they glorified him, which really blessed my heart. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen, John. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Raquel.
And 3 months, three months ago, I had a fall down the steps, and I don't know how I survived. It was really bad. I ended up with 2 fractures and a concussion on my head. And at the beginning, when I was in that bed, I realized that God really performed a miracle in me, even when I was in pain, because I continuously recreated how I fall. And somebody else probably would have not survived that one. So anyway, being the person that I am, I fought it at the beginning, just walking around with a cane. That was like a hit to my vanity. Like, that was major for me because I'm vain. Anyway, so I overcome that one. I started walking without the cane and everything. And every time that somebody asked me how I was doing, and I said, I'm doing good. I'm fighting it, you know. And one day I actually needed to question myself about it. I said, I'm not really giving God any credit for what he did for me. And so I questioned myself a lot about that because I felt that I needed to fight it. And I'm still fighting it. I refuse to walk with a limp. I refuse to feel that pain. So about a week ago, I started walking again, just, you know, doing brisk walk. I took John the first time, and it was really, I almost killed the dog with that walk. I actually thought that dog was going to have, a stroke, because he lay there and he wasn't moving. So I didn't realize that I walked that long. It was only until about 2 days ago that I took my phone and I actually used Pacer, and I realized that I walked 5 miles that particular day on the first walk. And I've been increasingly going on that walk every day. I discovered this path behind my house, and it gives me time to think. And I don't want to be winded, but that's one of the things that I was struggling with, because I'm not a person to go in the front and testify. And I feel that I cheated God by not doing so, because he really did perform a miracle. The way that I went down those steps was scary. So anyway, the day before yesterday, I was walking again. I walked 6 miles. And as I'm walking, I realized, I said, I was so proud of myself. And that's when it comes to the point of glory. Yes, I walked 6 miles.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me. I walked 6 miles.
That was you.
Yeah, with the support of God, I did walk those 6 miles. He kept me here. And I constantly say to John that sometimes I come to church and it's just I come in and I leave out the same way that I came in. And I sometimes feel that I'm not getting it. But then when I really think about it, I think that I'm getting it. It's like Greg said, I don't have to be holy. I don't have to be spiritual. I just have to be myself. And I look at the type of work that I do, and that's when my glory shines, because that's my ministry. And the way that I am with my family, my kids, and everybody else, I think that that's where my glory is. So I just want to continue being me. So that's my glory.
Amen. We're all in agreement with that, Raquel. And I believe that's your glory, too. When I hear your grandson talk about you, all I see is glory, the way he talks about you. He sees your glory. You may not think so, but he sees your glory. And he also says, my grandmother puts me to work all the time. But that's part of your glory. Put that boy to work. Amen. Well, thank you so much. Craig, you want to say something else? Donna? How's the dog? You know, this doesn't happen in churches on Sunday morning. You know that, don't you? This is unusual to eat, drink, have special guests that are going to be in concert in Philadelphia, and discussions during the No, this don't happen, but it's going to happen here at The Rising, all right? Go ahead.
Hi. I guess I'll, off of something Raquel said about, you know, that she doesn't have to worry about things being spiritual. And, one of the things I think this entire series has, I guess, the whole detoxing thing is just incredible because, you know, there's such a box of what's spiritual, what is not spiritual. And trying to understand the integration of where God's glory manifests is not just in what I would have in other times deemed spiritual. It has to look like this. It has to look like that. And, you know, with even with the glory being so personal and so unique, even the grafting, like John said, you know, once again, the impression that glory was given, and even who we were, that everything had to look alike. You know, we were all different trees, if I could say, but yet somehow we were supposed to, you know, I was supposed to be this one. They were, you know, and this has just been a place of such, like I said, touched in a personal way because it's unique. And still trying to understand the differentiation between secular, spiritual, even though I don't think there's that. but really a detoxing of just how the mind just wants to continue to go back into things I never understood for so long. And one of the things that you had said in one of the messages that really helps, it doesn't have to look, quote, spiritual, but you made a comment that glory isn't evident until others can feed upon it. And that just really, because where I am in so many aspects of life, is that true? Is that, you know, I can't say, oh, well, I'm singing a, quote, secular song, but is it bringing life to people? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what that mm-hmm. would mean. But it's just been a real renewing of the mind, but also trying to learn how to let go of misconceptions and the cons.
Yeah. All right. Amen. Thank you. I don't know if I even need to teach after that. But that was good. Yes, that was really good. You know, glory is not evident until people, I'll say it like this, are receiving nutrients from you. And what do nutrients bring? Life. Life. So that's when glory, and Donna's right when she said, that's when glory is evident in you, when others are receiving nutrients from you. That's when your glory is evident.
Hi, everybody. So I realized that, yes, I was here for that first class because it was right before I went to Florida.
You called it a class. Oh, my goodness.
Teaching.
What I'm kidding.
Teaching, preaching, word of God. And I'm building off of the thought of today in general is unorthodoxed, somewhat. I am unorthodoxed, somewhat. We all know last year when I came back from Florida, unorthodox, I like to use my body to use forms of art to preach the word of God. My tattoo last year when I came back from Florida was Jesus Christ's fish, Son of God, on my body. I realized when I come back from Florida this year, the glory of God, the glory of living and being independent is I continue to live my life to the fullest because that's what he wants for us. And I have new tattoos that I've come back from Florida, and I realize today is the first Sunday since I've been back from Florida. So I have peace with God because no matter where you are, as long as you know you have peace with yourself within, it's from God, and I can share that. And when people see this, they ask me, and I can tell them about my love and random acts of kindness, always, always doing random acts of kindness, never expecting anything in return. And it's all because of the glory of him. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Melissa.
Amen.
Welcome back. Anybody else? Before I get back to do a little bit more teaching, we're getting late in the hour, so I'm not going to teach everything I had planned to today. I can't. Well, I could if you want to stay at 1 o'clock, but I'm not going to keep you that long. So if there's no other comments or questions, I'm going to go back to maybe 10 or 15 minutes more of teaching to close out. Anybody else? All I smell is, I smell donuts. Man, you get a big sniff and, donuts. All right, well, let's go back to the teaching. Thank you, everybody, for your comments, for your questions. My hope is that you really did get some real nourishment from this series, The Glory of Living, and you're going to continue to add to it in your own mind, your own thinking, your own study, and continue to apply it in your life, like I see so many of you are at this point. So, The Glory of Living. Well, you know what? Let's do something. Let's, for once and for all, get rid of that misunderstanding that I was talking about from Isaiah 42 about that scripture. So turn to Isaiah 42 with me, if you would. We'll put it back up on the screen. And I want to read verses 5 through 9. And the question I posed in the teaching is that from Psalm 8, we found out, the psalm that says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And God, so right there, you know, when God says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That God is thinking about us. We're on God's mind. When the psalmist says, God, what is man that you're mindful of him? He's saying, God, I'm on your mind. You're thinking about me. What is that, God? And the psalm goes on to say that he has crowned us, man, humans, with glory and honor. So the question is, in Psalm 8, if he's crowned us with glory and honor, how in the world, what does it mean in Isaiah 42 when he says, I will not give my glory to another? That's a contradiction, because he says he's crowned you with glory and honor, and then Isaiah 42 says, but I'm not going to give my glory to another. So let's explore that for its meaning in context. You know, when you take something out of context, church, if you get a letter, a long, long letter, and you take one sentence out of the letter, you could destroy its meaning by taking that sentence out of the whole context of the letter. And that's what we do with Scripture many times. We quote our verses. We're versaholics. You know, we're just versaholics. And there's nothing wrong with verses. You know, certain things happen in my life. Certain verses just pop out of me. I understand that. I'm not denying or downing that. But don't become a versaholic to the place where you're just taking everything out of context and you're destroying its real meaning and you're giving somebody else a different meaning of what it really is supposed to mean. So let's look at this, and I'm going to talk to you about this in its context. Verse 5 says, this is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, he's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to the Hebrews. He's saying, I'm going to take your hand. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to make you a covenant for the people. I'm going to make you the light for the Gentiles. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Then he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to what? What does it say? My praise to what? So what he says, I'm not going to give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Who is the other he is talking about when he says, I will not give my glory to another? Idols. It's right in the verse. He's talking about idols. So, church, I'm going to explain this even more. We've misunderstood this scripture so bad. And I'm going to tell you, the devil has religious people so messed up that they don't even know who they are. The devil don't want you to even think. Listen, the devil does not even want you to think for one second that you have the glory of God on the inside of you. And he will do everything to keep you from that truth. So he quotes scripture out of context from people who you respect. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, he says. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Now, if we were to read the chapters preceding that and up to that, we would find out that these chapters are dealing with people. And the people have become rebellious. They are marrying all kind of pagans. They are worshiping rock and stone. They got images built up everywhere. Now, this is what's happening up to the point that God is saying this. I am the Lord, that is my name. This is what's happening. These are God's people, watch, and they are worshiping idols, and they are bowing down to wooden stone. And they are calling these wooden stones gods. So that's what's happening up to the point that God is saying this. So God comes on the scene and he says, what is this? Are you trying to tell me that I gave my nature to that idol? My glory to that idol? Are you actually taking my glory and my nature and making it a slab of stone? So God comes on the scene. Are you crazy? He's like, he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. Now, what does Lord mean? Lord means owner. So God is saying to them, look, I am the Lord. That is my name. I own that tree. I own that wood. And therefore, because I own that tree and own that wood, I know what I've put in that tree and that wood. He says, look, I'm the owner. That's my name. I am the Lord. That's my name. I own these things. So bowing down to them, I did not give them my nature because I didn't give my glory to another. Do you see the context? I didn't give my glory to another. I gave it to you. I know what I made. I know who you are. And he's saying, I put my glory in you, and I am not going to give it to another creature, and I'm not going to give it to all those idols or the idolatry. That's what he's talking about. So listen, when you hear somebody take that scripture out of context and tell you that you have no glory, what are you going to do? Say it again. He would say, yes, I do. Now watch this, church. Because God says, so he says he's crowned you with glory and honor. Now watch this. I haven't talked to you about this yet, but the word glory is the same word that Moses used when he was given an assignment. And Moses was really nervous about the assignment. He said, well, God, you know, I appreciate the assignment, but God, I'm a little bit afraid. I'm a little bit afraid. So God, show me your glory, he says, because I'm afraid. And what is he saying? God, I need to see your stuff. I need to see something, God, because I'm afraid. Show me your stuff. God, because I'll go get the people that you've told me to get. I'll go get them, but God, I'm afraid of that Pharaoh. So God, you got to show me what you got. Because I know what Pharaoh's got. I used to live there, Moses says. I know what Pharaoh's got. Pharaoh's got soldiers. Pharaoh's got armies. Pharaoh's got spears. He's got chariots. I know his glory, God, but show me your glory. Show me your stuff. If you want to read that whole story, it's in Exodus 33. That was Moses' request. Show me your stuff, God. God, show me your glory. Show me your real weight, God. Show me your real weight. And what you got. Show me what you got. Now watch what God does. God says, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I can't let you see me right now, Moses, because that would kill you. Because my glory, Moses, would just overwhelm you. My glory is so great, Moses, that it would actually burn your eyes out of your sockets. So what I'm going to do, Moses, I'm going to put you in this little spot in the mountain. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And Moses, I'm just going to pass by. And I'm going to let you see some of my glory. Ooh, Lord have mercy. And he says, when I pass by, Moses, watch. He says, you're going to see my backside. In other words, Moses, I heard somebody say this, it tickled me. That God was going to moon Moses to show him his glory. His backside. And God, that's what God said, right? He said, I'm going to show you my backside. Look, if I show you my backside, it's a moon, all right? I'm not going to show you my backside. There's no glory in my backside. God may have glory in his backside. I ain't got no glory there. All right. So watch what so God says, Moses, I'm going to let you see my glory. I'm going to pass by and show you my backside. And you're going to get a sense. You're going to get a sense, Moses. You're going to get a sense of what I'm really like. And the Bible says when the Lord did that and walked past, ooh, it says the mountain shook. Everybody say, heavy stuff. Ooh, glory, heavy stuff. God is weighty. I mean, God is heavy. And then the Bible says that when Moses was finished, he came down from the mountain glowing like a lamp. When the people couldn't even look at him. And listen, he only saw some of the stuff, the backside. God gave him a little moon. That's what he saw. Church, he only saw some of the stuff. And guess what? Guess what? That is trapped in you. That's trapped in you. You know, every time Christ did something in the scriptures, he said, this is to show the glory of God. Every time he did, almost every time he did a miracle, this was to show something you could see, the glory of God. And one of the things that we have to understand is that God created you. He put his glory in you, watch, and he expects to see it. He's looking for it. Because the glory, again, is the true essence of a thing. It's the reality of you. It's the full expression of the true nature of you. Look at John 15 for a second. John 15. I'm going to try to wrap this up a little bit. John 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now watch verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Now I want you to remember, every time you see the word glory in the scripture, you need to apply the definition to glory. He says, this is to my Father's glory. What is he talking about? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Church, he says the Father gets glory. Not necessarily when you come to church service and sing. We're not really giving him glory. We are, when we're clapping our hands and singing, we are praising him and worshiping him. But glory, he says, that's praise and worship. That's all good. But glory, he says, is when you bring forth the fruit. It's what you do with your life every day. It's what you bring out. That is what brings glory to God. This is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit. Amen? Amen. And that's what God is looking for, fruit. Now, I just want to end today with the scripture that we've used, and I want us all to say it together. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, one of the most powerful statements that Jesus ever made. Come on, read it with me. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now here's the verse. Let's read it together. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Men have got to see what you're doing to say, that's got to be God. See, church, when somebody sees the attributes of God in us, as you're going just on your life journey, As you're going through your daily routine with all its ups and downs, when someone sees the attributes of God in you, as you are fulfilling your purposes, as you are fulfilling your dreams, your vision, when they see this, it brings glory to God. When you start to do and manifest what you were created to do. And again, Carol, that just doesn't have to be one thing. It could be multiple things. When you start to do and manifest what God created you to do, watch, then God begins to see himself show up. Ooh, isn't that great? God sees himself show up when you begin to do what you were created to do. His true nature begins to come out of you, and church, that brings glory to God. And men will say, men will look at that and say, only God could have done that. Ooh, church, don't you want something to come out of you where other people are going to look and say, only God could have done that? Don't you want that to come out of you? Because when they look at you and say that, they are going to glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And again, it's not the religious idea of works. It's about your purpose, your vision, your goals, your life, your journey. When they see your good works, your good deeds, that they're going to see something come out of you. And the only conclusion they can come to is that only God could have done that. And what are they going to do? They're going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Isn't that the goal? To have people glorify the Father who's in heaven. Amen. I'm going to close with this. If you look at a bud before it's in full bloom, if you look at that bud, that little bud, trapped in that bud is a sweet smelling, beautiful, glorious flowers trapped in the bud. Now, the bud is somewhat ugly, right? Some of us might not look so good right now. All right? But we got to wait till you start to bloom out. We got to wait. But many times, people just see you in the bud stage and they think that's you. They think that's you. And I want you to turn to your neighbor right now. Turn to your neighbor. And I want you to tell them this. Turn to your neighbor. I want you to say this out loud. If you knew who I was really going to become, you would fertilize me. Right now, you would fertilize me. Why, church? Why? Because after you fertilize me, I'm going to give you some of my fruit. Come on, let's try this again. Turn to your neighbor again. Come on. Say this to your neighbor. Say this, come on, come on. This is a supply. Say, don't be gasoline to me. Be water to me. Say it, Betty. And help me release my glory. Now, this don't apply to none of you here, but... There are some folks in the church, listen, who are bud killers, plant killers. And as I said 2 weeks ago, they're glory killers. Please don't marry a glory killer. There are people who go around, listen, and they're going to minimize your dream. They're going to actually tell you what you can't do. And they're going to give it to you all the time. Bud killers, plant killers, glory killers. Turn to your neighbor for the last time this morning. Come on. And say this to that. Say this to your neighbor. Say, fertilize my life. Hey, tell me what I can do. Help me bring forth my glory. Now give God a clap for the glory that he's put in you. Amen. Come on, church. Let's be a church at the Rising who fills the earth with God's glory. Amen. Amen. Come on, music team, come back and close us in song this morning. I'm going to pray as they're coming back, if you would bow your heads with me. Thank you for being here and participating in this series. I've just so enjoyed your comments and your questions and your participation in the glory of living. Father God, we thank you so much for crowning us, Lord, with your glory. God, you've crowned us with your glory. We thank you, Lord, for creating us in your image, in your likeness. God, continue to give us revelation and understanding of what that really means and what the ramifications of that are. We thank you so much, Lord, for putting your glory in us. Lord, I ask you for every person in this room today that you would put each one of us, Lord, each one of us in the right atmosphere and in the right environment to release your glory. Lord, I ask you to glorify yourself in this church at the Rising. Glorify yourself in the Rising. Show us your stuff, Lord. Lord, show us the real you. Show us the true nature of who you are. Lord, I ask you to glorify yourself in our lives. Lord, just like Moses, many times we're afraid. We're afraid of the assignment. We're afraid of the task. We're afraid of what we're facing in the future, just like Moses. But Lord, we ask you to show us your glory, to let us see your stuff, so we won't be afraid anymore. Father, we ask you and to bring encouragement. I ask you, Lord, to bring encouragement to every heart this morning. And that may we all continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we continue to see and manifest your glory on this earth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's close in song, church. That's it for the glory of living. We will move on to whatever comes to my brain, I guess, or whatever the Spirit gives me. Amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here. Take advantage, more advantage of the cafe. What in the world?
We're going to sing happy birthday to our pastor.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, church. I know those candles don't represent my real age, but that's all right. I'll take it. I'll take it.
We didn't want to create a fire.
You know what my wish is, church? I'm going to tell you. I wish to see your glory. That's all I wish, to see all of your glory.